This is VOA News via remote. I'm Tom McNeil. New Zealand has reported its first coronavirus case outside of a quarantine facility in more than 2 months, although there was no immediate evidence the virus was spreading in the community. The Director General of Health, Ashley Bloomfield, said Sunday the case was a 56-year-old woman who recently returned from Europe. Like other returning travelers, she spent 14 days in quarantine and twice tested negative before being returned home on January 3rd. She later developed symptoms and tested positive. U.S. President Joe Biden Saturday outlined his administration's plan to fight the coronavirus, which includes mandatory mask wearing on federal properties and public transport and mass vaccination campaigns. Speaking during a virtual U.S. conference of mayors of the U.S. biggest cities, Biden urged citizens to wear face masks for 100 days until April, saying that experts estimate that at least 50,000 lives could be saved by those specific measures. And he also called on mayors to work with the administration and make sure people respect the rules, including social distancing. The Biden administration also released its strategy in vaccinating 100 million people in its first 100 days. Mexico's president said that President Joe Biden has told him the U.S. would send $4 billion to help development into Honduras, El Salvador, and Guatemala. Hardships in those nations have spawned tides of migration through Mexico toward the United States. Biden made his initial calls to foreign leaders Friday with Canada's Prime Minister Justin Trudeau and Mexico's Andrés Manuel López Obrador first on the list. More at voanews.com. This is VOA News. The U.S. has reaffirmed support for Taiwan following China's dispatch of warplanes near the island in an apparent attempt to intimidate its democratic government and test American resolve. State Department says it notes with concern the pattern of China's ongoing attempts to intimidate its neighbors, including Taiwan. Taiwan's Defense Ministry says China on Saturday sent 8 bombers capable of carrying nuclear weapons and 4 fighter jets just southwest of the island. It's part of a long-standing pattern of Chinese incursions aimed at pressuring the government of President Tsai Ing-wen and to caving to Beijing's demand that she recognize Taiwan as part of a Chinese territory. Police detained over 2,000 people and used force to break up rallies across Russia Saturday as tens of thousands of protesters ignored the extreme cold and police warnings to demand the release of Kremlin critic Alexei Navalny. Navalny had called on his supporters to protest after being arrested last weekend as he returned to Russia from Germany for the first time since being poisoned with a nerve agent he says was slipped to him by state security agents in August. Authorities had warned people to stay away from Saturday's protests, saying they risk catching COVID-19 as well as prosecution and possible jail time for attending an unauthorized event. A Chinese city has brought 2,600 temporary treatment rooms online as the country's north battles new clusters of coronavirus. The single occupancy rooms in the city of Nangang and Hebei province just outside Beijing are each equipped with their own heaters, toilets, showers, and other amenities. Special attention has been paid to Hebei because of its proximity to the capital, and the province has locked down large areas to prevent further spread of the virus. The U.S. Census Bureau is suspending efforts to create neighborhood-level statistics on its citizenship and age of residents using 2020 census data. The announcement is the latest rollback of Trump administration census-related initiatives that critics feared would be used to favor Republicans and whites during the drawing of state and local districts. Larry King, who quizzed thousands of world leaders, politicians, and entertainers for CNN and other news outlets in a career spanning more than 6 decades, has died at the age of 87. He had been in the hospital in Los Angeles with COVID-19 infection, according to several media reports. He had endured health problems for many years, including a near-fatal stroke in 2019, as well as diabetes. CNN said he'd been in the Cedars-Sinai Medical Center in Los Angeles for more than a week. Via remote, I'm Tommy McNeil, VOA News.
This is Russ Davis welcoming you to another hour of the best of jazz, past and present, and conversation with the music makers as we return to New York City and the Jazz Congress here on Jazz America. Largest gathering of jazz creators, supporters, and fans is Jazz Congress, happening in New York City at the Jazz at Lincoln Center complex, right in the center of New York, just off of Central Park. And there, so many wonderful panels occurred, one-on-one conversations. I'll share a couple of those with you during this hour with one of the great ladies of jazz. There were so many wonderful women of jazz there, and we'll focus on them more directly in upcoming shows. And one of the up-and-coming young pianists in jazz who's been rubbing shoulders with some of the legends of jazz in his latest work. That's on the way. Let's begin, though, with a focus on two of the artists who were saluted in panels. And those panel discussions include folks that knew the artists from the past. And two of them that were focused on included the great pianist, the late great Randy Weston, and a panel discussion that celebrated Art Blakey and the Jazz Messengers. It included 28 musicians who in the past had been a member of Art Blakey's Jazz Messengers band. Let's go back in time to hear music from those two artists we just mentioned and start with Boo's Delight from the 1961 release Buhaina's Delight, all about Art Blakey's nickname. And his band at that time included Freddie Hubbard, Wayne Shorter, Cedar Walton, and Curtis Fuller. Art Blakey and the Jazz Messengers beginning this hour of VOA's Jazz America. Thank you.
Thank you.
Another of the late great artists in the spotlight for a panel discussion at the Jazz Congress this year, Randy Weston with Boron Exum Exum from his album Kafira, here on VOA's Jazz America. Let's spend some time with a very talented lady vocalist, Allison Adams Tucker. Her recent album, Wanderlust, quite a sensation. We'll hear from that album after we talk to her, as I caught up with her at Jazz Congress here on VOA's Jazz America. This is the voice of Allison Adams Tucker, by the way. Go ahead.
Yes, so you played me on Pat Metheny's 63rd birthday celebration back in August.
Yes.
And you played my track, Better Days Ahead, with Chris Potter and Antonio Sanchez, my Wanderlust team. And I was so honored that you included me. And when I saw you stand up and say Russ Davis, I thought, I've been wanting to meet him in person. So how perfect here at Jazz Congress.
Well, I feel like I've met you in person because I've heard all your wonderful music and your wonderful singing. And I just want to congratulate you on all the great work that you've done and more to come, I have a feeling. As a matter of fact, looking to the forward, what's up?
Absolutely. And first of all, I want to say thank you for mentioning that you feel like you know me through my music. And this last project, and because we share from our souls, but you don't know how much of that really transcends to the listener, you know.
Yes.
So yes, you do know me, and I feel like I know you from your voice as well. I'm here for Jazz Congress and all of the festivities with Winter Jazz Fest, and I showcased at the APAP one of the APAP showcases yesterday. And I'm also here to do my fourth album with the same producer, Matt Pearson. And this time I'm going to be revisiting my roots, my musical roots, music of the 70s, 80s, and 90s with a jazz spin. So, you know, I was a punker back in the 80s. At age 17, that was my first band, and it was a new wave band. So I'm going to be revisiting those. We've taken 18 songs, six tracks per decade, and we're going to roll them out as EPs on streaming platforms, Spotify and such, and then have one album at the end. And hopefully it's going to be a nice nostalgic experience for those people who were around those times, and then also for the youngsters who are listening to all the streaming platforms. They're into it already on the playlist, so I'm hoping that it will warm the hearts of people and make them oozy like it does me.
Oozy. Allison, I'm going to try to explain to the international audience what that
oozy
might mean. No, I like it.
日本語 だったら oozy っていうのはもう感動するから。
Yes, visceral interconnection. Well, thank you so much. And you answered the question I was about to ask. What inspires your projects? And now I know the source of a lot of your inspiration, and that's really important to know. And then you take it and twist it and make it your own, things you've known and lived with before. It's a good way to do it.
You have to be true to yourself as
Absolutely.
An artist, well, as a human, but as an artist especially. Otherwise, it's just music, right?
Mm-hmm. Allison Tucker Adams, let's hear some of her music right now, as a matter of fact, on VOA. Good to see you.
Thank you so much. Great to meet you.
And as we await that upcoming release that she mentioned, here's her jazzy version of the Pat Metheny classic Better Days Ahead from the album Wanderlust. Allison Adams Tucker on Jazz America from VOA 1. Along with the classic jazz, I want to give you the newest forms of improvised music. Case in point, what you just heard. The band from Philadelphia known as Lotus. Electronics and jazz coming together and music called Gasoline from their latest release, Frames Per Second. More coming up with one more conversation with an up-and-coming young pianist who I ran into at the recent Jazz Congress in New York. But first, I want to invite you to send me an email if you have a question, a comment, or maybe request for music. Whatever the case may be, I'd love to hear from you. And here is the email address to which you can write me. I'll give it to you twice. So write it down and get in touch. It's jazzamerica@voanews.com. That's Jazz America, the two words written as one word, @ voanews.com. jazzamerica@voanews.com. And here's a message I received from a listener named Kwasi Otang. And Kwasi writes, I'm a long-time listener. I relish your program very much. This boggles me. Apart from Hugh Masekela, was there any African jazz musician? Well, Kwasi, absolutely, because obviously jazz began with the first burst of rhythm and instrumentation in Africa. Most people think West Africa, Mali, Senegal, that area, and then transported to the United States, where all the elements of the music that came together in New Orleans created jazz. And many artists continued to create improvised music known as jazz from Africa. I gave you Lionel Loueke, one of the recent artists in jazz, not too long ago on this program. And now I want to give you one of the most famous of all time, the gentleman who, by all accounts, created the music known as Afrobeat, the great saxophonist and composer Fela Kuti. Here is the title cut from his album No Agreement from the mid-1970s to begin this set of music on VOA's Jazz America. Thank you. There's the sound of jazz for the 21st century from our new and notable feature. That is new music from a vocalist I've never played for you before, so it's always great to meet new artists like Simone Kopmajor from her album Spotlight on Jazz, Dig That Riff, with an electronic kind of vibe to it, but a classic sound at the same time. Well, a gentleman who certainly can play the classic and has a modern sensibility as well is an up-and-coming young pianist who I feel certain is going to do very well in the upcoming American Pianists Association Cole Porter Fellowship competition that'll be happening later in the springtime in 2019 in Indianapolis, Indiana. His name is Emmett Cohen, and I caught up with him for this conversation at the recent Jazz Congress in New York City. We'll follow that with his collaboration with Ron Carter, the legendary bassist. Emmett, just a real quick one here to follow up on our little conversation we were listening in to with you and Harold Mayburn. You're just about to win the American Pianist Association Cole Porter. Oh, yeah, you are. And then you've been just collaborating with some of the biggest. Ron Carter, let me go down the list. And how does this happen?
Well, I think, you know, I got an opportunity to play at the Dizzy Gillespie Big Band. And when I first moved to New York six, seven years ago now, and Jimmy Heath was in the band, I got to spend some time with him, and I realized that's the education I need. I need to be around Jimmy Heath. I need to be around Harold Mayburn. I need to be around Ron Carter. I need to be around Tootie Heath, Jimmy Cobb, Al Foster, Louis Hayes, Lou Donson. That's where I'm going to learn how to play this music. That's where I'm going to learn how to teach this music. And so that I've made it my mission to be around and collaborate with as many jazz masters as possible, as well as having my own thing and developing my own path with the young musicians. So I have those two paths going on, and eventually they're going to meet in the middle. And you know, I just look forward to every opportunity I get, and I'm grateful for all the stuff that I've been given.
You know, that's your mission accomplished, young man. You know, that's what That's what it used to be like. Yeah. The young guys hanging with the older guys and learning the lessons, and then each one must teach one, and you go beyond that. So you're living the life.
Thank you, thank you. I'm going to run.
No!
I got to get something to eat before it gets too crazy.
That's a little taste of life on the run for a young jazz musician like Emmett Cohen, who got together with Ron Carter to create this work. From his latest release, Emmett with Ron Carter on It's About Time on Jazz America from VOA 1. our department of new and notable just released trumpeter Ralph Alessi, with an all-star cast including Robbie Coltrane on saxophones, Andy Milne on piano, Drew Gress on bass, and Mark Ferber on drums, with the song from the album Imaginary Friends titled Improper Authorities. This is Russ Davis. I hope you enjoyed another trip to Jazz Congress in New York City, and we'll be returning there. But on the next edition of Jazz America, it's time to salute the winners of the Grammy Awards that will be announced in Los Angeles on the 10th of February. We'll celebrate the Grammy winners on the next Jazz America.